from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From listener, you're listening to the English program from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on frequencies 3325 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id and application RRI Digital. I'm Steve and we'll be in here with you with more information about Indonesia. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia confirms self-funded role in Gaza Peace Council. President Prabowo emphasizes national self-reliance to face escalating global conflicts, and here is the news in detail. Indonesia has confirmed that its participation in Gaza Peace Council proposed by the United States will be carried out independently by maximizing the readiness of Indonesian military forces. Ofra has the detail.
Indonesian Minister of Defense Safri Samsudin stated that Indonesia's involvement in the Gaza Peace Council will be implemented under a self-funded scheme. The statement was delivered after a closed-door meeting with commissions first of the House of Representatives in Jakarta on Monday.
Tetapi yang pasti bahwa pelibatan ini.
But what is certain is that this involvement is self-funded, where we prioritize our existing capabilities to prepare our troops. And I believe the commander has already presented one brigade. We will deploy one battalion, and earlier we sent 50 personnel as an advance team.
Meanwhile, regarding the issue of Indonesia's membership contributions to the Peace Council, the minister said the government is still awaiting a decision from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So far, there has been no official discussions on the amount of fees or financial contributions Indonesia would be required to pay as a member. The decision to join the Peace Council is a follow-up to charter signed by President Prabowo Subianto and United States President Donald Trump at the 2026 World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The document reaffirms Indonesia's commitment to supporting peace efforts in Gaza following the conflict. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto, speaking at the World Economic Forum 2026 in Davos, Switzerland, from 19th to 23rd of January, affirmed the importance of strengthening national self-reliance so that Indonesia does not depend on external parties under any circumstances, including the event of escalating global conflicts up to the worst-case scenario of a Third World War. The President's emphasis was conveyed by the Minister of State Secretary Prasetyo Hadi after a meeting with the Commission 13th of the House of Representatives in Jakarta on Monday. According to Prasetyo Hadi, the President's message is in line with the domestic agenda currently being pursued by the Ranawai Cabinet.
The direction is already clear. We are striving to be self-reliant first. Food self-sufficiency, then energy self-sufficiency, followed by other areas, including economic self-reliance, so that if something happens, we are not dependent.
Earlier in his keynote address at the World Economic Forum annual meeting 2026 on Thursday, the President Prabowo explained that despite the world facing tighter financial conditions, trade tensions and political uncertainty, Indonesia has remained capable of maintaining consistent economic growth. In addition to economic growth, President Prabowo highlighted that national macroeconomic stability remains well maintained, including inflation and the budget deficit. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Infrastructure and Regional Development held a town hall meeting with a number of ministries, agencies, business entities, and stakeholders to discuss accelerating efforts to reduce carbon emission. Kiki Purba has the details.
Target net zero emission 2060 itu bisa benar-benar tercapai.
The Coordinating Ministry for Infrastructure and Regional Development held the meeting team Accelerating Transportation Decarbonization in Jakarta on Monday. The Coordinating Minister Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono stated that the decarbonization steps taken by the government are a manifestation of the nation's integrity in fulfilling international commitment for ratification of the Paris Agreement.
Indonesia benar-benar ingin membuktikan tanggung jawab moralnya.
Indonesia truly wants to prove its moral responsibility as one of the countries that has ratified the Paris Agreement. And this is something we also need to monitor together so that the net zero emission target for 2060 can truly be achieved.
As a concrete step, the Coordinating Ministry for Infrastructure and Regional Development is currently accelerating the completion of strategic documents that will serve as a compass for the energy transition in the transportation sector. This final product is projected to be completed by May.
Kita punya timeline di bulan Mei. Diharapkan kita.
We have a timeline for May, and we hope to have the final product related to this transportation decarbonization roadmap ready for various domestic and international purposes.
Berbagai kepentingan di dalam negeri maupun di dunia internasional.
The town hall meeting is organized as a platform to gather input from stakeholders and encourage cross-ministerial agency, regional governments, and private sector collaborations for the accelerated implementations of the transportation decarbonization roadmap in Indonesia. Kiki Purba, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs Mutia Hafid has reaffirmed the government's commitment to accelerating equitable digital access across the country, including frontier, outermost and underdeveloped regions. She said that the effort is crucial to ensure no region is left behind in the digital transformation. Anita Audrita has the details.
The Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Digital Affairs says the expansion of cellular and internet networks in Indonesia's these regions is ongoing. During a working meeting with Commission 1 of House of Representatives in Jakarta on Monday, January 26, Minister Mutia Hafid stated that by the end of 2025, fourth generation technology or 4G services had reached nearly the entire Indonesian population. The government has also begun expanding 5G networks, although coverage remains limited to certain residential areas.
Di mana 4G untuk
for 2025, 4G coverage has reached 98.95% of Indonesia's population. And in 2026, we will increase it to 99.05%. Hopefully, this can be achieved. We are quite confident because we will conduct a 5G auction, which is also expected to help 4G services.
Mudah-mudahan bisa membantu layanan 4G.
Beyond network expansion, Mutia Hafid revealed that strengthening digital access in frontier, outermost, and underdeveloped regions is also supported through the operation of mobile network infrastructure, including base transceiver stations or BTS.
Operasi dan pemeliharaan BTS.
Operations and maintenance of BTS in 2025 covered 6,747 BTS locations in frontier, outermost, and underdeveloped regions, including 3,262 locations in Papua. This is indeed one of the highlights for 2025, that Papua is far more connected in 2025.
Looking ahead to 2026, the government is targeting wider 4G coverage, expanded 5G networks, and additional service points in treaty regions. According to Mutia Hafid, the digital infrastructure push will also be accompanied by efforts to strengthen security and governance in Indonesia's digital space. Anissa Audrita, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government has reaffirmed its commitment to accelerating the designation of customary forest as a form of the state's presence in ensuring fair, legal, and sustainable forest management for communities. Minister of Forestry Raja Juli Antoni confided during a working meeting with the Committee 1 of the Regional Representative Council on Monday. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan has more.
Minister of Forestry Raja Juli Antoni on Monday, January 26, 2026, stated that the Indonesian government continued to accelerate the recognition and designation of customary forests across Indonesia.
Cumulatively, up to December 2025, 170 customary forest communities have been designated. 170 communities with an area of around 366,000 hectares, providing tangible benefits to 90,000 households.
The Ministry of Forestry is targeting the accelerated designation of 1.4 million hectares of customary forests as a concrete step. The government has established a special task force for the acceleration of customary forest recognition.
The main task of this task force is to accelerate the process of recognition and designation of customary forest status in Indonesia by overcoming administrative, legal, and social barriers in order to provide legal certainty and living space for customary law communities, as well as to facilitate their economic development after designation.
Beyond legal certainty, the designation of customary forests highlights the importance of social, historical, and local wisdom dimensions to protect the rights of customary law communities in Indonesia. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Minister of Home Affairs and Chairman of the Sumatra Disaster Task Force, Tito Karnavian, is calling for the strategic use of flood-driven wood debris to support local communities and industry. Speaking at a coordination meeting in the ministry's headquarters in Jakarta, the minister highlighted the untapped economic potential within disaster-affected areas. Putri Cahaya Purnama has the details.
Minister of Home Affairs and Chairman of the Task Force for the Acceleration of Post-Disaster Rehabilitation and Reconstruction in Sumatra, Tito Karnavian, is pushing for the optimal use of wood debris following recent floods in Sumatra to strengthen local economies. During a task force meeting in the ministry, Monday, January 26, 2026, he identified wood along the East and North Aceh borders. While larger logs are already being repurposed by locals, the minister noted that vast quantities of smaller debris remain unused.
Memang kebijakan Bapak Presiden waktu rapat yang lalu, termasuk di Hambalang, arahan kepada kami.
Indeed, the President's policy during the last meeting, including in Hambalang, was to instruct us to allow the community and the government to utilize the wood. Many have done so by cutting it into planks to build houses, bridges, and other structures. However, there are many small pieces of wood that cannot be made into planks.
Recognizing this potential, the task force chairman revealed that several regional-owned enterprises and local industry players have expressed interest in absorbing the remaining wood, which has otherwise been difficult to obtain in the market. The wood can be allocated as industrial raw material or fuel for energy production.
Ada saran dari beberapa kepala daerah, Pak, bagaimana kalau seandainya itu diambil.
There are suggestions from several regional heads. How about it is being taken over by regional-owned enterprises and sold to third parties? For example, there is a power plant in North Sumatra that also needs wood. There are also local industries such as brickmaking.
Concluding his statement, Tito requested that the Ministry of Forestry immediately provide technical guidance and further regulations regarding the mechanism for utilizing wood with economic value. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka at a talk show at a university in Central Java reaffirmed the government's commitment to completing development in the new capital Nusantara and to gradually relocating government employees starting this year. Rama Shidki Pratama has more.
Speaking before students of Satya Wacana Christian University in Salatiga, Central Java, Vice President Gibran discussed the government's performance during a talk show at the university auditorium on Monday, January 26. One of the key points he raised concerned the progress of development in Indonesia's new capital city of Nusantara, which he said was proceeding on schedule. He even stated that civil servants from government offices and state institutions would move from Jakarta to Nusantara this year, including the secretariat of the vice president.
Siap ya. Kita udah instruksikan.
We have instructed the staff of the Vice Presidential Secretariat to begin a gradual relocation to Nusantara, because I see that the office building are also nearing completion. And if I'm not mistaken, this year, the Ministry of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform plans to relocate about 4,000 civil servants there as well. So this will all be done gradually until 2028. And perhaps by 2029, all will be effectively working there.
Semuanya efektif berkantor di sana.
Meanwhile, the rector of Satya Wacana Christian University, Intias Utami, expressed her hope that Vice President Gibran would open up access to Nusantara so that students could see it firsthand. She also hoped that researchers could be involved in the city's development.
It will be good, Mr. Vice President, if I may suggest that friends from Papua are also given broader exposure to see Nusantara directly, because we have students from all over Indonesia here. They are the ones who will become leaders in the future, so their perspectives should be broadened. Even research studies, if permitted, could be given space so that we researchers can contribute there. Thank you.
At the event, Gibran said he had asked for the acceleration of construction of the legislative and judicial complexes in Nusantara, which he said are targeted for completion in 2028. He also requested that the State Mosque of Nusantara be able to operate regularly during Ramadan, the Islamic fasting month which this year begins in mid-February. Ramasidki Pratama, Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is The Significance of Indonesia's Runner-up Place at ASEAN Para Games by Anatri Jayakasih.
The ASEAN Para Games, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Para Games, held in Nakhon Ratchasima, Thailand from January the 20th until 26th, placed Indonesia as runner-up after host Thailand, who emerged as the overall champion. Indonesia's results represent an achievement not only in terms of ranking, but also in terms of the significance they bring to the region. In Southeast Asia, disability sports still face serious challenges. Access to coaching, facilities, and institutional support is unequal. Many countries are still struggling to build sustainable and inclusive systems. In this context, Indonesia's achievements over time demonstrate consistent progress. Indonesia is competitive in various key sports with long-term development and increasingly focused disability sports governance. This runner-up position reflects a development process, not a short-term result. The ASEAN Para Games also developed into a space for regional solidarity. The intense competition marked the increasing quality of athletes in the region and emphasized the importance of disability sports as a vital part of human development. For the international community, these results affirm Indonesia's direction. The country is strengthening its foundation as an inclusive sporting powerhouse in Southeast Asia while preparing its athletes for bigger events in Asia and the world. Well, that was commentary.
You don't wanna get no closer, 'cause a touch like mine might end your life. I know that look, I've seen it before, and I'm keeping score.
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ulah, siapa yang bisa buatku begini? Gila, ini bahagia apa? Lagi bagus-bagusnya, tapi bagiku biasa saja. Dia buatku terdesima.
Menyapamu tak berani, menciummu apalagi. Mata pendek, lutut kaki gemetar ku berdiri. Kalau sampai ku miliki, tak mau ku tidur lagi. Alamat malah nanti kau pergi.
Kalau ada
seketika pingsan, mana nafas buat tanya. Can I see you for a minute? Boleh aku visit? See you mom and dad, aku pamit. Kalau memang naga-naganya kau berkenan, ku berangkat sekarang.
Nyapamu tak berani, menciummu
jatuh cinta.
Financial literacy is an urgent need that people often fail to grasp as early as possible. People need to know not only about making money, but also managing it. Here are the tips for managing money for youngsters from a financial trainer, Ligwina Hananto.
It's doable, but not for everybody. I mean, in this economy, who can save 30%? Let's be realistic. I have this rule of thumb that is still not applicable to anybody, but it can be a guidance. So the guidance will be the 1-2-3-4 rules. The 1-2-3-4 rules is basically minimum 10% for savings. So if you can do more, it's fantastic. Maximum 20% is for your lifestyle. So if you can do below that, that's fantastic. A maximum 30% is for your loan installments. And then around 40%, usually more than this, is for your necessities. And therefore, when you do your budgeting and when you calculate how much money you are spending within a month, you can sort of find out, oh, I'm spending 20% for my loan installment. Is that a good thing? And then you look at the golden rule, the rule of thumb that I spoke about earlier. If maximum is 30%, if you're spending less than that, if you're spending only 20% on loan and so on, that means you're in good financial check. So in that 1-2-3-4 rule, pay attention to how much you save for your future and pay attention to how much you pay for loan installment. If you pay more for loan installment, chances are you're not saving enough. That's just the golden rule. So make sure you watch out with your loan installment, because a lot of people have troubles with their loan installment. If it's above 30%, there's a huge possibility you will not be able to save any money. The second one will be your lifestyle spending. Lifestyle spending above 20% is, red light. It should be less than 20%. And if you want to spend more than 20% of your income on lifestyle, you need to save a little bit and create a separate account that will allow you to spend more. For example, Gen Z loves to travel and love to go to concert, right? That would definitely be above 20% of your income. That's okay, but you save for it. So you have a saving account separately, and then you save your money in there with your 10% or 20% income. So your 20% lifestyle expense should be only for your daily activities or weekly activities. Say if you want to go to movies, if you want to hang out with your friends, if you want to go for coffee shops, that would be for the 20% per month. But if you want to spend more than that, have a separate saving account, save for your concert, and do go traveling as much as you want while you're still young.
For more financial tips, you can check out our VOI Talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Want to stay updated with accurate and reliable news from Voice of Indonesia and RRI stations across Indonesia? RRI.co.id is the answer. RRI.co.id, the official news portal of Radio Republik Indonesia, brings you the latest credible and comprehensive news from across Indonesia and the world. Stay updated with a trusted source only at RRI.co.id, your reliable online news portal.
Baby, take my, I want you to be my.
'cause you're my Iron Man, and I love you 3000. Baby, take a chance, 'cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie. See you standing there in your Hulk outerwear, and all I can think is, where is the ring? 'Cause I know you wanna ask, scared the moment will pass. I can see it in your eyes, just take me by surprise. And all my friends, they tell me they see you're planning to get on one knee, but I want it to be out of the blue. So make sure I have no clue when you ask. Baby, take my hand, I want you to be my husband, 'cause you're my Iron Man, and I love you 3000. Baby, take a chance, 'cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie. Now we're having dinner, and baby, you're my winner. I see the way you smile, you're thinking about the aisle. You reach in your pocket, emotions unlocking. And before you could ask, I answer too fast. And all my friends, they tell me they see you're planning to get on one knee. So now I can't stop thinking about you. I figured out all the clues, so now I ask. Baby, take my hand, I want you to be my husband, 'cause you're my Iron Man, and I love you 3000. Baby, take a chance, 'cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie. Da-da-da-da-da. Be my husband, 'cause you're my Iron Man, and I love you 3000. Baby, take a chance, 'cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie. Baby, no spoilers, please. Da-da-da-da-da. No spoilers, please. Da-da-da-da-da.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the Overseas Service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Desa Budaya Suku Dayak. Di Desa Budaya Suku Dayak, which means in the Dayak Cultural Village. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled Wow. Wow, which means wow or ow. This conversation takes place between Chris, an Australian vlogger and a resident of Pampang Cultural Village, Samarinda City, in East Kalimantan. Chris expresses amazement when he sees a Dayak woman with long ears. Let's listen to their conversations.
Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu, sampai telinganya menjadi panjang.
Konon dalam masyarakat suku Dayak, wanita dengan telinga panjang itu cantik.
Apakah anak muda di sini masih melakukan tradisi itu?
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. I will pronounce it slowly. You can repeat it after me. Wow. Wow. Which means wow or ow. Banyak sekali. Banyak sekali. Which means that's a lot. Anting. Anting. Which means earrings. Ibu. Ibu. Which means mother or mom or woman or lady. Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Which means, wow, that lady put on a lot of earrings. Telinga. Telinga. Which means ear. Panjang. Panjang. Which means long. Konon. Konon. Which means it was said or supposedly. Masyarakat. Masyarakat. Which means community or people. Suku Dayak. Suku Dayak. Which means Dayak tribe. Wanita. Wanita. Which means woman. Cantik. Cantik. Which means beautiful. Anak muda. Anak muda. Which means young man or young woman. Tradisi. Tradisi. Which means tradition. In the conversations, you hear this statement, wow, wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu. Which means, wow, that lady put on a lot of earrings. In this sentence, there is an interjection, wow. Wow, which means wow or ow, which functions as an exclamation of admiration and amazement. The word wow, wow, which means wow or ow, is used by Chris to express his amazement at the number of earrings worn by a Dayak woman he met. Now let's listen to other example of the use of interjection wow, wow, which means wow or ow to express amazement. Wow, megah sekali Candi Borobudur itu. Wow, megah sekali Candi Borobudur itu. Which means wow, how magnificent the Borobudur temple is. Wow, besar sekali Sungai Mahakam ini. Wow, besar sekali Sungai Mahakam ini. Which means wow, how big the Mahakam River is. The Dayak tribe on the island of Borneo has a tradition known as Telingaan Aru. The tradition involves lengthening the ears by using earrings as weight. In Dayak belief, the woman's beauty is not judged by her face, but by the length of her ears. Before closing, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more clarity, let's listen to the example conversations once again.
Wow, banyak sekali anting ibu itu, sampai telinganya menjadi panjang.
Konon, dalam masyarakat suku Dayak, wanita dengan telinga panjang itu cantik.
Apakah anak muda di sini masih melakukan tradisi itu?
Listeners, that was today's editions of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Wow, Wow, which means wow or ow. Hopefully, today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Tatapan cinta untukku, ku jatuh cinta. Rindu terasa mengancam dadaku, saat kau selalu hadir di mimpiku. Hati jiwaku selalu memanggilmu, kasihku. Ku cinta kau, hanya kamu di hatiku. Takkan pernah kan terganti, sampai kau jadi milikku. Mengancam dadaku, saat kau selalu hadir di mimpiku. Hati jiwaku selalu memanggilmu, oh kasihku. Ku cinta kau, hanya kamu di hatiku. Takkan pernah kan terganti, sampai kau jadi milikku. Jiwa ini, raga ini, memanggil namamu. Kau tahu sejak pertama bertemu, ku jatuh cinta.
Listeners, welcome to another edition of Indonesian Wonder, where we explore the hidden gems and breathtaking destinations of our beautiful archipelago. Today, we are taking you to a picturesque beach that promises a memorable experience. Slili Beach in Yogyakarta. For all of you beach enthusiasts out there, make sure to plan a visit to Gunung Kidul in Yogyakarta. Why you ask? Because Gunung Kidul is home to a stunning array of beaches, and one standout is Slili Beach. This captivating destination attracts numerous visitors due to its pristine beauty and powdery white sand. Slili Beach serves as a natural divider between Krakal Beach and Sadranan Beach and is situated in Sidoharjo Village, Tepus District, Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. It's about 70 kilometers or approximately 1.5 ulang. It's about 70 kilometers or approximately 1.5 hours from the heart of Yogyakarta. To access Lily Beach, a modest entrance fee of 15,000 rupees per person is required. Parking fees are around 15,000 to 30,000 rupiah for cars and 5,000 rupiahs for motorcycles. Upon arrival, you'll be greeted by the sight of gleaming white sand and crystal clear blue waters. Nestled between two hills, the beach enjoys relatively calm waves, making it ideal for shoreline play or for a refreshing swim. For those interested in marine life, snorkeling opportunities abound, allowing you to explore the vibrant underwater world around Lily Beach. With its elevated surroundings, Lily Beach offers spectacular vistas. You can hike up Kobingan Hills, which is conveniently close to the beach, for a panoramic view of the ocean. After your adventures, unwind and savor delectable seafood at local food stalls or simply relax while watching the sunrise or sunset. The beach is well equipped with amenities, including a parking area, a prayer room, gazebos, restrooms, food and beverage stalls, cafes, accommodations and snorkeling gear rental. Listeners, that concludes today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Join us tomorrow for another captivating destination. Until then, take care and goodbye.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, today's Music Corner is going to present a regional song from West Kalimantan entitled Pagu Banua Borneo. This song is part of the oral traditions of the Dayak people. Pagu Banua Borneo, which means the beautiful nature of Borneo, tells the story of the Dayak tribe's inner bond, love and pride for their ancestral land, the island of Borneo. In addition, the lyrics also describe the Dayak tribe's appreciations for their rich culture and natural resources. The song Pagu Banua Borneo is often performed alongside typical Dayak cultural elements, such as traditional dances, traditional clothing, in important ceremonies that are still preserved today. Pagu Banua Borneo is not just a song. It is also a means to musically celebrate and disseminate traditions, values, and moral teachings. Here is the song Pagu Banua Borneo sung by Fausta. Enjoy listening to the song. Thank you.
very much for listening to the Voice of Indonesia on vionews.id, edited digital and frequency 3325 kHz. If you have anything that you think we need to know, you can go to our WhatsApp, +62 821 2381 2130. Once again, +62 821 2381 2130. And also our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. And more from us is available on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned on RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.